I don't know about you, but it feels like I've heard this morning's reading from the Gospel of John, read aloud in different churches that I've attended over the course of my life, probably well over 100 times. And still, it never gets old. Almost 2,000 years have passed since these words were first committed to paper. And still, they have a way of speaking into the depths of our very being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing came into being. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. These words are as true for us today as they were for John, and they will be true on that blessed day when Jesus comes to us once more. I've always marveled at the poetry that John uses to convey these massive theological concepts. Jesus, the cosmic Christ, the God who is the Father in the beginning, the mystery of the incarnation, the Word made flesh, the font of our salvation, the Christ child dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. And not only that, as if I could say only, but it's also how John relates the story to the sacred story of the children of Israel, the story of Genesis, the passion of the prophets. It's all bound up this morning for us in this poetic and marvelous second Genesis that John offers for us. It's all there, like the Trinity, bound together in perfect harmony, in perfect poetry and majesty, all there in the beginning. I've sometimes wondered whether the fact that John wrote these words so long after Jesus' birth assisted him with crafting the poetry. We have to remember that John is writing from about the turn of the second century, so about 100 years after Jesus' birth. Think about that. Us writing about World War I now and trying to tell the story. But you see, some time has passed, and John and the early church have had time to wrestle with how all of these different pieces fit together. And slowly and surely, a consensus is developing in the early church about all of these important concepts which today help to define Christianity as we know it. And yet, as I read through this text in preparation for preaching to you this morning, there was one sentence that just kept jumping out at me in the midst of all the metaphysics and all the poetry and all the majesty. There was one short sentence, and it's very neatly tucked away between the third and fourth verses. You could almost miss it if you're not careful, but I think it would be a real shame if we did. And it is this: what had come into being through Him was life, and that life was the light of the world. What had come into being through Him was life, and that life was the light of the world. You see, even for this poetic prophet, with all of his metaphysical fireworks, all of this beautiful imagery that he dazzles us with this day, the mystery of the incarnation is still rooted in our earthly experience. There is an earthiness to John's claim. The light of Christ is not some ephemeral force. This isn't Star Wars. It's not some kind of magical energy that fills all space and time, as neat a concept as that is. No, the light of Christ is life itself. It's life itself. It's our lived experience. The light of Christ is the air that we breathe and the ground that we walk on. It's the molecules that bind together our fingers and toes, our hands and our lips, our faces. The faces of the people of God. The light of Christ is tangible. It's tactile. It's living and breathing, evolving and changing, hurting and bleeding, and yes, even dying and rising once more. The light of Christ, my friends, is so much more than that beautiful candle on the Advent wreath, as beautiful as it is. It is the life that Jesus lived. It is the way he showed us to live. The sacred life that he is still sharing with us this very Christmas day through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is eating and drinking with those who are other. It is healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted. It is sharing the good news of our salvation with all who have ears to hear. And when we as God's people, when we incarnate that life, when we allow God's grace to work in us and through us and partner with the Holy Spirit to transform this world, that is when the light of Christ truly shines. You and me and every other person on this earth, we are beacons. Our lives are living beacons of God's light. And when we commit ourselves to being that light, to partnering with God to follow in the ways of Jesus, when we pray for the sick and seek justice for the poor, when we unshackle the prisoner and reach out to our foes, and when we touch the untouchables, when we befriend the stranger and share with them the bread of life, and the cup of salvation, that's when the light shines forth. And there is no darkness in this world that can ever overcome it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. What had come into being through him was life. And that life was the light of the world. May God help us to be that light and that life this Christmas through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.